Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during August evenings. Before you head out, grab a blanket, a folding chair, or one of those reclining loungers so that you can lean back and look up without getting a sore neck. Take a long-sleeve shirt or light jacket in case it gets cool, and find a spot that's far away from bright lights with a clear view all around the horizon. Lots of sky watchers circle mid-August on their calendars. Why? Because they're looking forward to seeing the year's best-known meteor shower, the Perseids. So let's start with that. During a meteor shower, you'll typically see more shooting stars than normal because Earth is crossing the orbit of a comet and plowing through a cloud of particles shed by that dirty snowball all along its orbit. In the case of the Perseids, the comet is called Swift Tuttle. Over the centuries, all the particles shed by this comet have become scattered along its orbit, and every August, right on schedule, we plow right through them. So why do astronomers call this shower the Perseids and not the Swift Tuttleids? Because the meteors you'll see all seem to streak across the sky from the direction of the constellation Perseus. This perspective point of origin is called the radiant, because all the meteors seem to radiate from that point. You can impress your friends with that tidbit at the next summer cookout. Now, you'll always see more meteors when there's no competition from a bright moon. And the last time the Perseids arrived during a good run of moonless nights was in 2007. It turns out that every 3 years we get the same phase of the moon on roughly the same date each month. So in 2010, we'll once again be able to see the Perseids in moonless skies. For North Americans, the best viewing will probably come very late on the evening of Thursday the 12th and early Friday morning. But the shower lasts for a few days, so you can also watch for them the night before or the night afterward. In any case, prime viewing for the Perseids begins about 11 p.m. after Perseus has risen in the northeast, and it lasts until the first light of dawn. The higher the radiant in your sky, the more meteors you'll see. But the few that you'll see just after Perseus rises are especially long because they skim the upper atmosphere and fly far across the sky. One more thing, you don't need to look at the radiant to see the Perseids. The best direction to watch is wherever your sky is darkest, and that's usually straight up. That's all there is to it. Okay, let's check out the sky earlier in the evening, starting with just after sunset. Early this month, low in the west at dusk, you can see the climax of a celestial show that's been many weeks in the making. The star of this show is brilliant Venus, which this month is at its best and brightest. Hovering nearby are Mars and Saturn. All three planets are playing musical chairs this month. On August 1st, you'll find Mars and Saturn paired together to the upper left of Venus. They're fainter than Venus, but about equal in brightness to each other. Can you tell which is which just by their color? Look carefully. Okay, time's up. Saturn is the one higher up. But by August 8th, these two will be farther apart, and Venus will be sliding in toward them, creating a pleasing little triangle of planets. You'll be able to cover all three of them with a clenched fist held at arm's length. And as the days march on, Saturn continues its own march toward lower right and deeper into the twilight. We'll soon say adieu to Saturn until November, when it'll reappear in the eastern sky before dawn. Shift your gaze to the left of Venus, and the first bright star you'll encounter is called Spica, though some say Spica. It's the alpha star in the constellation of Virgo, the maiden. Spica comes from the Latin word for an ear of grain, but in reality it's a superstar, 4 times hotter than our sun, 7 times bigger, and 12,000 times brighter. It only looks relatively dim because it's 260 light years away. Now keep turning left so you're facing south. As the sky darkens, look for a star that's about 4 or 5 fists from Spica and about the same brightness. That's Antares, the heart of Scorpius. How's your ancient Greek? The ant part of this name means against, and Ares is Greek for Mars. So Antares loosely translates as rival of Mars due to its reddish color. But there's no contest here. Antares is a red supergiant so incredibly large that if you substituted it for our own sun, it would completely engulf everything out to and beyond the orbit of Mars. Again, it looks relatively dim because it's 600 light years away, and a good thing, too. If your southern horizon is completely clear, you might be able to make out the rest of Scorpius. Those of you at more southerly latitudes have an advantage here. The pincers are a little to the right of Antares, marked by a vertical row of three stars. The body swings down to the lower left through Antares and curves up at the end with the stinger. The whole thing might remind you of a giant question mark lying on its side. Now turn again to your left so that the sunset point is behind you, and look up, way up, for a big triangle of three bright stars. The highest and brightest of these, almost overhead, is called Vega. To its lower left is the star Deneb, and to its lower right is Altair. This distinctive trio is known as the Summer Triangle. If your skies are really dark, without much light pollution or moonlight, you'll see the faint band of the Milky Way running from Deneb past Altair and down to the lower right towards Scorpius. This glow is from the countless faint stars that mark the disk of our home galaxy. In fact, the word galaxy comes from a Greek phrase, galaxias kouklos, which means circle of milk. While you're waiting for those Perseids, keep an eye on the eastern horizon for the grand entrance of the grandest planet, Jupiter. As August opens, it won't pop over the horizon until about 10:30 p.m. But by month's end, it'll be rising around 8:30. Much more convenient, don't you think? Now stick out your right thumb so it's to the upper right of Jupiter and just touching it. On the opposite side of your thumb in the sky is the planet Uranus. It's too faint to see by eye, so you'll just have to trust me on this one. Next month, we'll pay a state visit to Cassiopeia, queen of the late summer sky. Until then, I wish you clear skies.